Hello and welcome to The Stack. This week we head to Hamburg to speak to our friends from IndieCon. The indie magazine event is going ahead next weekend, featuring new and exciting titles. We speak to the editors of two of them, Off 2 and Club Sandwich. And we also speak to the founder of a new magazine called Delicate Rebellion. Stay tuned. From Midori House in London, this is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis, and I am Fernando Augusto Pacheco. As we know, since the beginning of the year, many events, fairs, conferences had to be cancelled because of coronavirus. A really difficult period, but looking at the bright side, some events are slowly returning, such as IndieCon, which will be hosted in Hamburg next weekend of the 5th and 6th of September. In the show today, I spoke to two exhibitors at the fair this year, the editors of Off 2 and Club Sandwich magazines. But first, I had a chat with Urs Spindler, co-founder of IndieCon, on what we can expect from this year's event.
I mean, it's definitely been a very strange journey this year. We, of course, also had this this kind of risk equation in our minds all the time. Is it a good idea to do it? And in the end, we had to change up the whole event to make it as safe as possible. But right now, we are pretty confident that we found a very good setup. And for us right now, it's also a little bit about setting an example, because I think we need to think about how we keep our creative and cultural exchange going. Because, I mean, that's the motor for production of meaning in our society. It's basically what we live for. So. Maybe we can provide a very small step in that direction.
Well, I completely agree with you. What about in terms of the exhibitors and you know, visitors of the event as well? You know, I presume some countries, of course, they're not going to be able to go because of travel restrictions. But how has it been the reaction so far?
I'm pretty glad that the reaction has been very positive because, as you already mentioned, a lot of fairs have been cancelled and many of the exhibitors also depend on this exchange to find new readers, to get the word out on their publications. I don't think it was very easy to launch a new magazine, for example, this year. So the response from the publishers has been very good. And we're also quite happy with the response from the public because, I mean, we really asked a lot this year. You have to register to visit the fair. You have to give up like a lot of personal data and everything. And I understand completely if people are cautious there. But right now it looks like we're going to have a reduced setup, definitely, in terms of people who are able to visit the fair. But I think it's going to be good.
And there's one thing that I noticed actually since lockdown. Of course, it's difficult for the publishing industry and everything, but we hear from even from the Monaco readers or people that I talk to, you know, print, people still want print, the print product in a way, you know, so it's been hard to sell new stands, but, you know, a lot of magazines, they had a little uptick when it comes to subscriptions. So, you know, not even such a horrific thing as COVID-19 will destroy the world of print. And I think that's what you guys are doing, because there's still quite a lot of exciting titles around, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think crises have kind of always led to productivity in publishing. And I can say for myself that the situation gives me a lot of energy and focus right now. I think it's, of course, it's hard from an economic standpoint for many of the titles here. And I also think there's definitely need for political and also financial support for the publishers and for this whole independent publishing sphere. But on the other hand, I mean, independent publishing has always been hard from an economic standpoint. And I think many publications profit right now from their very direct relation to their readers. And that's maybe also explains the phenomenon that you see, that people are now buying magazines, are buying subscriptions, kind of to help the publications that love through this time of crisis. So maybe it's a chance to foster this relationship even more.
And I know it's hard to talk about every single title because there's quite a few I've checked. I've checked your website, but give us some of the highlights. And even here on The Stack this week, I had the pleasure to speak to Liz Gomez from Off 2 and Anna Brugin from Club Sandwich. I mean, two amazing women as well with fantastic titles as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to see so many new faces again this year at IndieCon. I mean, it's always been like that. There's been a lot of turnover because new titles pop up, others disappear. I'm really curious to get to know Aftumek that you already talked about and Liz Gomez and her team. It's, I mean, you will talk about that later. There's also a similar publication from Lagos, which is called Irian Journal. Unfortunately, due to Corona, the team will not be able to travel to Hamburg, but we will try to set up a remote connection to talk to them and at least, I don't know, demonstrate that there is that you can also be part of something, even if you cannot travel right now. They are also showcasing cities on the African continent, which I think is an interesting change because for now, when you look at travel magazines, was often still a very European perspective, and I'm really excited to see these new magazines popping up and to see the stories they are going to tell. So that's definitely two I would recommend keeping an eye on. And then there's also a couple of titles which I think have become very relevant again in these times, which is, for example, something like Nexus magazine from the Netherlands, which deals with the impact of the digital sphere on the self. And I mean, we've all like rediscovered our digital self in the past couple of months. So I'm really curious to reread what they've been publishing in the past couple of years. And also, as I said, for us, it's really about keeping cultural exchange and the exchange of ideas going. And there's a lot of publications who do translations, for example, like Capsule magazine, which is translating science fiction from China. And people like, for example, Yiji Yang from Dogs Collective, who's bringing publications over and who will also host a link to ABC Art Book Fair in Shanghai, which is happening at the same time. So this kind of connections give me a very positive feeling about how we're going to get through this time.
That was Urs Spindler from IndieCon. Also present at the event will be a big list of editors and publishers from around the world, showcasing the best of independent publications in 2020. One of the exhibitors is Liz Gomez, founder of Off2 magazine, a beautiful title that will delve into one African capital for each issue. Their first issue is all about Accra. Liz tells me more.
For me, it will be like the first like official and public event for the magazine because we did it while we were confined. So I did it between Paris, London, and Accra. And for the first time, we'll be out. So for me, it's really exciting. And it's exciting to introduce the magazine to more people and to European people and to be able to feature like an African city in Hamburg. It's something for me. Like it means really something for me. As I was born here, even if my parents are from Guinea-Bissau, so they are from Africa, I really needed to start that conversation with the European people. Like, you need to check on African cities with another perspective now.
I completely agree, and perhaps without a cliched perspective as well, which is what we see a lot. But tell us about the idea, the format of Two Magazine. So the idea is that in every issue, you focus on a specific city, and the first issue is all about Accra, right?
Yes, I chose to dedicate the magazine to a capital city in Africa. So I chose Accra for the inaugural issue because Accra and Ghana really marketed itself this year because their president made a famous speech, like he was calling all the diaspora to come back to Africa. And he called it the year of the return because it's been 400 years since the first ship arrived in the US. So he called all the diaspora to come back to Africa. And the result of that is that a lot of festivities is happening now in Ghana. Like in December, you have a lot of festival, music festival, a lot of events. So all the diaspora from all over the world were like, okay, we need to head to Ghana. And my point was, okay, there's a lot of festivities, it's fun. You have a lot of African-American actors, musicians that are coming, like the mother of Beyonce was there last year. So this is one thing, but we need to know the other side of the story. There's a B-side because people are living on a daily basis there, and they are facing some issues and challenges. So for me, it was important to have the two, like, okay, there's something fun and it's appealing and it's really nice. It's good for the tourism, but on the other side, we have to know about the daily lives, about the experience of being a young Ghanaian today. So that's why I made this magazine, to have the A side and the B side too.
And another fantastic thing about your magazine, I mean, of course, you were born in France, and it's a bilingual title as well, which I think is quite interesting. And you on that way, you managed to reach quite a strong market, right?
Yes, because I was born in France, and French are not good into foreign languages. So I know that they would have been like lazy to open the magazine. And the continent is like, you have English speakers, French speakers, Portuguese speakers, and a small part of Spanish speakers. But I was like, maybe if we do it like, if we do a bilingual magazine, more people will be able to have it and to read it. So that's why I chose to do that. And also for the American market and for the European one, I really needed to have everybody involved in it. That's why we chose to translate everything.
And Liz, it's so nice that events like IndieCon are finally, you know, starting to happen again, because, you know, we had a lot of difficult months in the world. So I presume, you know, to start a magazine during this period, it must have been quite hard, but you've managed. I mean, the magazine looks beautiful. But tell us about the process. I mean, was it quite daunting, or you felt quite inspired and said, you know what, even with this adversity, you know, I still have a nice product that I want to sell?
So I had the idea like in 2019, and I had to think of it. And then in January, I said, okay, now I have to do it. But first, I needed to find a local team. I wanted to have writers who were actually living in Ghana, who were actually Ghanaian. So I managed to find people. So I find them because I'm going to Accra a lot. And then after that, COVID arrived. And so I was like, whoa, how am I going to do? Because a lot of the writers, they were like unemployed because of the confinement. So I had to pay them while they were writing. I have to go to the Western Union or MoneyGram to send money. Some of them had the internet cut during that time. So sometimes it was a little bit tricky, but it was challenging. And I was like, okay, this is why I'm making this this magazine, because people have to know that we have difficulties to produce it, and we will be able to make it anyway. And the second difficulty is like, okay, now the magazine is out, and how can I do to sell it on the continent? And the shipping rates are insane, like really insane. You cannot even, it's like you are paying a lot to bring your magazine there. So all of these challenges for me is something that people should notice, because this is what it is when you want to make a business in Africa and you want it to be international. Like, you will have some issues like this, like the shipping, the internet cuts, sometimes the electricity and things like that. And when IndieCon told me, how can you tell us about the impossible publication? I was like, everything was impossible, but we managed to do it. And it's like this every day in Africa. Sometimes we have, okay, we don't have electricity for a day, but we managed to keep on moving anyway. And we keep on moving and we are doing great things. And that's why I really insisted to have like a beautiful magazine with beautiful paper, because I wanted to prove that, okay, we can do it anyway. We don't need all of the stuff that I have in Paris. We can do it with small means and do something great. And that's what is all about in a way.
That was Liz Gomes from Off2 magazine. And now another exhibitor at IndieCon this year, Anna Brogin from Club Sandwich magazine, an annual bilingual publication that focus on a particular food every issue.
So it's a magazine about food, but it's not a food magazine. The idea was to dive into a more theoretical approach of food and see what it means in terms of history, economy, political science, pop culture, everything. And the focus is one food per item. So our last one is chocolate, but we did egg, mushroom, and pickles before that. And yeah, one issue is going to be 20 to 40 articles, depending on the issue, just about that food. And it's everything is, I pick artwork around the subject, but nothing is pure illustration. So it's really contacting artists and trying to come up with an issue that's bold and different and colorful each time.
Well, and the stories, I was talking to Urzen, and he was mentioning, for example, in the Pico issue, you had a story how the Pico influenced women's rights in India. I mean, this is quite surprising. I literally had no idea. And I think that's, you know, the kind of story that I would like to read, to be honest.
Yeah, that's also the story I wanted to read about, because I like food, but not so much how to prepare food, to make recipes, but more how it connects us all, how it has different meanings to different culture, and then yet it's the same element. And so that's why I started the magazine, to really dive into stories that are different, complex, that you need a bit of research to access. And yeah, that's why I love the project so much, because you never really know what you're going to find each time you start working on an issue.
And Anna, are you excited to go to IndieCon in Hamburg next week?
Yeah, it's really nice to, when I started the project, I was a bit of an island. I was doing everything mostly by myself. I have a team of people, but it's still a very, very isolated work. And then I started doing a couple of fairs, and it's so amazing meeting people that do the same thing and meeting people that love reading magazines. And I've heard of IndieCon, and I'm so excited to be part of it.
And Anna, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, the title is also bilingual, French and English, right? Is that
yes.
Your way of kind of connecting to a new market as well, new markets?
I started the magazine in French only. The first two issues are in French, mostly because we had so many articles. We had like 40 articles when we started the project. So it was impossible for us to translate everything. And then the international audience really wanted a version in English. And so I thought, how can I do that? And I didn't want to just have, you know, a little booklet at the end. I really wanted it to be a part of the magazine. So the way I approach it is, you have both the articles in French and in English, but it's more like the continuation of a visual journey. So you start with the English version and then you continue to the French. But if you started reading it, you can still enjoy the article, and because you're seeing a whole different aspect through the images. So that's what I wanted to do when we chose doing a bilingual, but for sure it connects people way more when you are an English title, for sure. Yeah.
And Anna, I know you're based in Paris. One thing that surprises me every time when I go to Paris, I still find the newsstands in France, I think it's quite exciting. You know, I'm sure the country is going through all the problems that every country is going through when it comes to publishing, but it's so interesting. There's a lot of kind of new titles coming out of France, or really cool ones like yours. Do you think it's a really good scene there in France, or perhaps I'm being too optimistic?
Yeah, there are also a lot of initiatives here in France that are started by people who had independent magazine and now are doing distribution and I think it's really interesting. We have a lot of people interested in that new medium. Some people were artists, and for them it's a continuation of a medium. Some of them are journalists. I receive all the time emails for people asking me how I did it and everything. And I think that's what I love about independent publishing. It's such a everyone wants to help everyone. Everyone is very it's a very good energy, and Paris for sure is a very interesting scene right now.
That was Anna Brugin from Club Sandwich. And finally on the show, another new title in the newsstand, which is always exciting news. We love that here on The Stack. Delicate Rebellion was found by Hannah Taylor. Its vision is to help create a shift in the cultural landscape and challenge the perception of women in the mainstream media. Here is Hannah with more.
We started off as a print publication when I graduated from university in Edinburgh. I studied magazine publishing. And after I graduated, I found it quite hard being in Edinburgh to find a job at a publication that I really kind of gelled with. So I decided to start my own. The magazine initially was called She Is Fierce. And I printed four titles under that name, actually, until the end of 2017, I think. And then, yeah, last year, I rebranded to The Delicate Rebellion. Yeah, so the collective, I guess, came about 3 years ago, or 2 years ago. We're just about to go into our third year with the group. And it ultimately was a way of underpinning my pages. I think, as everyone who listens to this knows, that independent magazine publishing it's not cheap. It's not cheap to print a magazine. And I kind of needed a way to sort of solidify my income and protect my pages. And it just seemed like the most obvious way to kind of level up that part of things for me. So I pulled together some of the women that I featured in my pages, some of the women that had offered me advice over the previous sort of 2 or 3 years, and put them up front and center of our community, and invited our readers to take a seat with us. My readers tend to be sort of creatives, people with a side hustle, artists, designers, so we can all kind of learn from each other. So it's a closed group. Our doors open every summer for a short period of time. Class starts in October and we run for 12 months. And yeah, we just learn from experience, I guess, the experience of the people who've been there and done that. Our mentors span fashion designers, fashion brand consultants, bloggers, writers, photographers, web experts, everything that you could possibly think that you might need when starting a small creative business.
And for example, in issue one, if you could tell us a little bit of the highlights, and I have to add here, it is a beautiful, you know, portrayal of different women that work in the creative industries. I think it's a great selection on issue one as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we definitely try and bring as much of a diverse cross-section of creativity as possible, from people who are really well-established in their practice to new graduates. Everyone is welcome. I think for issue one, my biggest highlight has to be Helen Downey, Unskilled Worker. She has been an absolute hero of mine for like the past 2 years since I discovered her through her work with Gucci. And then from kind of doing my research on her, found out that she didn't actually pick up a paintbrush until she was in her 40s. And now she's got something like over 250,000 followers on Instagram. Her paintings are absolutely insane. And yeah, speaking to her was just a complete, it was like a warm hug for the soul. She was a single mum as well, which I am too. So for me, at the age I am, starting off my own kind of adventure, it really gave me a boost and some confidence that I feel like I needed as well. So yeah, we've got Unskilled Worker. And then we've got a young tattoo artist from Glasgow, Fidget. And we feature her story, from her inspiration from her dad, was a tattoo artist, and traveling around the country with him. And yeah, just how her story has like unfolded, how she's become a bit of a mighty pillar of the community when it comes to women who have been sexually abused, especially within the tattoo industry. And yeah, it's kind of like a plethora of women that are just doing their own thing.
Well, that's amazing. And one thing that I would like to ask you, I mean, I might be wrong, but you are based in Edinburgh. How is the publishing scene in Scotland? I always feel it's very kind of it's very much of a creative country. I see new magazines coming out from there. I mean, do you see that there is a good scene, is a good country to be when you're launching a magazine?
Oh, yeah. Edinburgh, Scotland in particular, is such a close-knit community. We've not got as much of a sort of condensed creative community as like London, for example, but I think that's a strength for us up here. There's room to breathe. Things happen at much slower a pace. There's time for real connections. And yeah, the publishing scene up here is small, intimate. Most of the publishers know each other. And yeah, it's really supportive. And I really enjoy being part of it. I feel like we've got our own sort of support network up here. So I definitely don't feel out of the loop.
Well, that's wonderful. And we all love here on the Stack when we have the first issue of a magazine. So tell us a bit more about, you know, how you plan, you know, for the magazine to, you know, to reach your readers. I mean, do you have a subscription plan, or are you planning to sell in certain locations, perhaps even in your website as well?
Yeah, well, normally, I guess from the beginning, I've always struggled with the financial side of printing the magazine. I've never had any funding or advertising, paid advertising in my pages, which is just something that I think comes with time. I'm still doing these pages on my own, and it does take up a lot of my time. I write a lot of the content, I design every page. And yeah, advertising is just something that kind of has fallen by the wayside for me. Although I think, you know, we could definitely attract advertisers. I'm not a natural saleswoman. I guess the future of the magazine, what we're looking at is we're going into the third year of the collective, which is amazing. And we see members join us again and again. So we've got some of the same members that have joined us in year one, have came back for year two, and they're coming back again for year three, which is wonderful. Yeah, I'm excited for the future. I would hope that we could possibly get some advertising. We're looking to build on our events, which we had so much planned for this year, but thanks to COVID, had to be sidelined for now. So we're hoping to get round to the awards that we had planned. They were supposed to be happening this October in London, but we're kind of pushing them back until sort of the same time next year. And yeah, we do some smaller events, our Secret Sundays, which are really, really intimate, beautiful events where we invite people to come along and we surprise them with like an artistic day. They're not sure of the activity before they come, so they have to all come with a nice open mind. And yeah, and we just spend a couple of hours getting to know each other, having fun, having pizza, and, you know, doing some art. And it's pretty special. Yeah, so I guess COVID hasn't been an ideal situation for us this year when I was so ready to level up. But there's always next year.
That was Hannah Taylor from Delicate Rebellion. Well, that's it for this week's show. My thanks to our editor, Nora Hall. And if you have any comments or queries, feel free to write to me, Fernando, at fpandmonocle.com. And remember, we're back next Saturday at the same time. And of course, you can always listen to it again at monocle.com or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And before we go, a delicious little song for you. Fat Neutronic and Poolside with Esperar Pra Ver. You've been listening to The Stack. I'm Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.